This morning, I'd like to offer a reflection. And it's a little strange, actually, this particular reflection. For the past few weeks, we have been doing snapshots of Jesus, different encounters. And we didn't intend this, as Pastor Jonathan talked about last week. We didn't intend for there to be a theme or a thread through these snapshots, but there was one, and a strong one, and it was the other. It was the person who was disenfranchised. It was the person who was alone. And today, we keep in this theme of other. We're going to go to the book of John. And as I said, it's a strange story. It's a it's kind of a disconnect, but I find it very interesting, and I invite you to think through it with me. We're going to be in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And the record says, some time later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. I invite you for the next moment or so to think about, where's God? Where is God? You know, it could have been called Gaithersburg, that pool of Bethesda. It could have been called Shady Grove Hospital. Could have even been called Joe's Bar and Grill. It could be the homeless huddle beneath a downtown bridge. Could be Pathways. It could be any collection of hurting people. The story says that there was an underground spring that caused the pool to bubble occasionally. Some of the scriptures say that it was an angel that came and stirred the waters. Whatever the cause, the people believed that the bubbles, if they were the first to get in, they would be healed. Did the healing occur? The record doesn't say. And I certainly don't know. But the people, the crowd of invalids who came to the pool at Bethesda, did believe, and they wanted to give it a try. Picture the scene. Scores of people lying at a pool. And this wasn't a pool like a pool that, a modern day pool. If you go to this site in Jerusalem, this is a humongous structure. It's a colonnade, it's a covering. It's probably, it's over 300 feet long and 100 and some odd feet wide. It's a very, very large structure. It's large enough for scores of people to be lying about strewn in all different circumstances. And this story opens that there was a festival that was going on. And Jesus was in town for the festival. Bible doesn't say which festival that it was. It wasn't Passover, because people lying outside during Passover, it was probably too cold for that. But it was a time where all the Jews had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival. And all good Jews did just that. But instead of Jesus being at the temple, he went to this pool in Bethesda. As you look in your own mind's eye over the past year, we've seen images and pictures of people and of bodies shrunk in all types of situations. We've seen people who have been lost and hurting because of violence. We've seen overcrowded nursing homes. We've seen long lines of people waiting to receive food. We've seen people struggling to find work. We've seen millions suffer and die. We've seen doctors and nurses at their wits' end. All of that is Bethesda. As Jesus walked past the people in Bethesda, you can imagine the groans. You can imagine the suffering. You can imagine just a feel of faceless, overwhelming need. And you can also imagine, because it was a festival, there were hundreds of people, thousands of people that simply walked by. They heard the groans. This was a well-known place that the sick and the hurting gathered. But yet, the people walked by. Maybe they walked by because it was just too overwhelming. How could they help? They were only one person. Maybe they were afraid. What if I go in there, maybe I'll get sick too. So they walked by. But where was God? God was in the midst of the pain. God walked among the illness. God walked amongst the hurting. And he saw this man. And this man, the record says, had been there for years. Now let's do a suppose, like Pastor Jonathan likes to do sometimes. How'd the man get there? I mean, surely he had to have some kind of family. I mean, he didn't live in the colonnade. Somebody brought him there every day. took him home. He had to eat. He had to have some sort of support. But day after day, year after year, he went to this place hoping for a miracle. I wonder what kept him motivated every day. Maybe it was just sheer hopelessness. Maybe there was nowhere else to go. Maybe he had seen somebody experience a miracle. But all we know is that he laid there day after day. And then the record says that Jesus came up to him. And what's funny is that the man didn't recognize Jesus. Jesus asked him a simple question. He asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Now, I would think that if a person had been laying, if I had been laying there for years on end, if somebody asked me that, I would have jumped up and said, "Yes, I want to be healed. Please, are you going to take me to the water? How are we going to do this? Yes, I want to be healed." But he didn't say that. In fact, he didn't answer that question. He simply laid out a complaint. He said, "Well," and maybe he was even a little defensive. Who knows? But when asked, "Do you want to be healed?" he said, "Well, I don't have anybody to help me get to the water. And every time I try, somebody gets there before me, and that's just how it is for me." And I wonder how often I've said that in my own heart when Jesus asked me, "Did I want to be healed?" But at that moment, instead of Jesus taking offense, because he meets us where we are, he knows our hearts, he said to the man, "Get up, take your mat, and walk." And that really is an amazing thing to say to someone who's been laying for 38 years. But what is even more amazing is that he did it. Now, the record doesn't say that he felt something in his legs or there was a burning in his bones, and it just simply says he got up and he walked away. What I find interesting about the story also is that he never even said thank you. Never turned back, picked up his mat, and he left. Now, some of the biblical scholars among us here know that this story also had another point to it, because the scene then shifts to the church people. And the church people got mad because this man was walking on a Sunday with his mat in his hand. Now, nobody said, "Hey, you're walking." They said, "Why are you walking around with your mat?" And they did all of this to try to convict Jesus of working on the Sabbath. But what was interesting, and I'm not really concerned about the good church folks right now, we're going to keep our focus on the man. What was interesting was that the gentleman still didn't know who had healed him. He just said, "This man told me to get up and walk, and I did." A few scenes later, the man goes to the temple. Now, again, Scripture doesn't say he was a religious man. I don't know if he wanted to go to the festival. I don't know if his family was at the temple. All good Jews were at the temple during this time. He went to the temple. And yeah, I'd like to believe that he was praising God, but Scripture doesn't say that. So he's in the temple, and in the next scene, Jesus comes in. And it says that Jesus saw the man at the temple, went to him, and said, "Hey, I see you here at the temple. good for you. Now, go out and sin no more, lest something worse happens to you. And he walks away. End of story. Okay, this is weird. Okay, I mean, it's almost like Jesus is stalking this man for whatever reason. It does not say why he's chosen him. It doesn't say what this man's condition was. But could you imagine, you know, you're in church, you've been healed, you're standing there, and all of a sudden the guy who healed you comes back and says, okay, you better watch out before something worse happens to you. What worse could happen in this man's mind than me being laid out for 38 years? But that's the story. That's the story of Jesus walking among the suffering. And I wish I had some pithy little way to wrap this all up and say, oh, well, this means this, that, and a third. I don't know why Jesus chose that man to heal out of all the multitude. I don't know the sin that was in that man's heart that Jesus was speaking of. I don't know the hurt or the loneliness or the bitterness that this man may have experienced, the disenfranchisement from his family that he may have experienced. I don't know any of those things. All I know is that in this story, Jesus asked this man, do you want to be healed? And then he told him to pick up his mat and walk. So, I would say to you, whether we are at the Pool of Bethesda, or if we are at Bill's watering hole, or if we are here at Pathways, Jesus continues to walk among the hurting. He continues to minister to the sick. He continues to sit with the grieving. He continues to be God with us, Emmanuel. And I believe this morning, after all that we've been through in the past 18 months, and maybe for some of you it's been longer than 18 months, maybe you too have suffered for 38 years or longer, he's asking us the question, do you want to be well? Do you want to be whole? In these next few minutes, I would like to invite you to take your bag and to take